physical infirmity in the lives of your sons and daughters in this house. Let healing be released through that camera, live stream, to that computer, to that cell phone, to that iPad, that laptop, however they are live streaming in. Let healing virtue flow, Lord Jesus. Right there to where they are. Heal them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Remove every sickness, every infirmity. Remove it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Father, heal your people in this house of every ailment, every pain, every discomfort. Let your healing virtue and power flow in this house, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Sweep away sickness. Sweep it away, Lord God. Remove it as far as the east is from the west. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it in Jesus' name. Circumcise the hearts, Lord. Remove the callousness. Cleanse, purge, purify. Sanctify. Wash us now in your precious blood. We give you honor and glory and bless your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody who agrees, said amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence. Hallelujah. We have those of you who were here Sunday, you heard that great praise report for the Mays family, Brother Deontay, Sister Maria, that he received a $5 raise on his job. Went from making $20 to $25 an hour. Hallelujah. My math is correct. If he works 40 hours a week, that's an extra $200 in his pocket for his family. Praise God. A week. That's awesome. And after service, this person didn't share during the time of service, but after service, they came up and shared with me and sold a seed, sold their first increase of that raise that they received. And to God be the glory. Sister Robriel received a $200 raise per month. And so give God glory. Amen. He's blessing his people. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. She said the exact amount is $191.83, but I always round up. Praise God. Glory. And may the Lord take you up as a result of that. For his glory and great name's sake, and show you even more favor because of your obedience unto him and your service in the house of God. It's your reasonable service and spiritual worship unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So congratulations to Sister Robriel. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not done. Somebody better say I'm next. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening. It's not just for a few. It's for all who believe. Sister Kehanani's co-worker was having pain in her stomach area. It was causing her to be extremely uncomfortable. Sister K asked if she could pray and lay hands on her. The Lord revealed to Sister K that her co-worker also had pain in her back, and the co-worker confirmed. No more than 10 minutes later, her co-worker shared the pain in her back and stomach were gone. Can we give God glory and honor and praise? Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing virtue and power. It works beyond these walls. Wherever we go, Lord God, we are like rivers in the desert. And we release the kingdom. We release healing power as you commissioned us to do. For you said, Jesus, the works that you do, shall we do, yea, even greater works, because you went to the Father. Now we know you to be in that position of seated at his right hand, and you ever live to make intercessions for us. And he's still praying for the church. Hallelujah. He's still praying for the people of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You ought to be excited about that, knowing that your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. That was healing, word of knowledge. Pastor Lucia spoke a word regarding someone experiencing heat in their hand. Look at this. I didn't even see this. Sister Yvonne responded, she felt the heat of the Holy Spirit on her hand. It was trembling as well. Pastor Lucia laid hands on her, and immediately she felt peace, which she needed. Glory be to God. He's got your number, Sister Yvonne. Hallelujah. He's got your number. Bless God. Yes, Pastor Lucia. Slight. She laid hands on herself. Oh, did I read it correctly? Okay. Let's see. Amen. Gotcha. Okay. I read it correctly, but I just needed to make sure it wasn't these up here. You know, lay hand. Yeah. Help me. How you doing, Sister Tiana? It's pick on you tonight. Huh? Good? Okay. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. How you doing, Sister Latika? Good. You're going to get a little louder. Yeah. Praise God. For the glory of God. Yeah. They're going to hear from you. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, glory. Let's receive an offering, and while you're doing that, open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said this, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth or causes to come alive, causes to be. The flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, the flesh is not good for anything. It's not useful for anything. It is the spirit. And when we pray in the spirit, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it helps to bring us in and under the influence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When we pray with the heavenly language that our daddy gave us, for it is the Father who gives us the Holy Ghost. Jesus is that baptizer with the Holy Ghost. The Father gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when we receive that, we receive power from on high. And the initial manifestation, though there are other manifestations of the Spirit, this is what Paul talks about when he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit. And then he goes on, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workers of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. If you notice, God will come through with word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He will come through with the gifts of healings. It can be healing just by the word only or by the laying on of hands. God has Brother Caleb, he's somewhere over there. Brother Caleb, one time he had, was it an earache or something like that? And the Lord told me to do this and do that, and boom. You remember? Yes, okay. Amen. I'm just saying the different ways. There he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, hey, that guy. You're not a he, Sister Diana. Praise God. Various ways, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, tongues. Tongues manifest quite regularly, the gift, where there is a tongue and then there is an interpretation of tongues. These manifest more as we are praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost helps to bring us in the Spirit, because we live in this natural realm. We live in this world, but we're not of this world anymore. And so we have to plug in and tap into the the kingdom that we are of. We have to plug in and tap into the realm of the spirit, to the third heaven, if you will. Amen. We have to tap into that realm in order to keep us. Balance is not the right word, but to keep us in as who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. To keep us in that place where the fruit, the byproduct or the product of the Holy Ghost is evident and it is manifest. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh, they are evident. And then he goes on and lists. And then he says, and the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is just as evident as the works of the flesh, if you will. And if we're tapping into the realm of the Spirit, if we're keeping ourselves in the Spirit, Paul said, walk in the Spirit. He said, live in the Spirit. Amen. Some people might say, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And we say, you're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. So, getting into the realm of the Spirit is where God wants us. Not do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, spooky kind of stuff. But knowing what we're doing and knowing who we're tapping into. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Every branch that abides in me, he bears fruit, or she bears fruit. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That comes from walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. It comes by praying in the Spirit. We can pray with the understanding, but Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost in order to operate in power. Amen. We ought to pray more in the Holy Ghost than we do with our understanding. Praying with the understanding is fine, but there's limitations to that because we're using our natural mind. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're unlimited. Our mind is bypassed, if you will. And we start to pray according to the will of God. While praying in the Holy Ghost, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith, your most sanctified faith. Hallelujah. The purity of your faith being built up, strengthened, and edified. Usually when we're praying in the with the understanding, we're petitioning God for something. When we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we're building ourselves up for something. Hallelujah. Something we don't see and something we do see. That we are spiritually fit, spiritually ready for anything and everything that comes down the pike because we're not on the losing side. Hallelujah. Glory. Everything that matters most to God, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen? We are blessed and not cursed. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have a commission. We are on assignment by God. We've been birthed into the kingdom. Now, as our Savior said when he was 12 years old, 12, 13, what have you, 12 years old, we believe. When he was 12 years old, he says, woman, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Those were the words of our Savior, our Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning of us, he who was there in the beginning of all things. He is the beginning of all things. He made all things that exist. Hallelujah. He says, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Hallelujah. He would go into towns and he would preach and he would teach and he would heal. And sometimes they would want to make him their hometown pastor. And then he would look at them and tell his disciples, let us go to the other side. These people want to make a king out of me. That's not why I came. I'm King of all kings and Lord of all lords. But I must be about my Father's business. I didn't come here to do my own thing. I came here to do Dad's thing. When we got born again, born the first time, we came doing the will of our parents. till they raise us up to be adults and we start doing the will of our own. And for many of us, we're still doing the will of our own. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. But being born again, now we must do our Father's business, because if we don't, it won't get done. Hallelujah. Glory. So when we get to Ephesians, and I love this chapter, chapter 2, as well as chapter 1, as well as chapter 3, as well as chapter 4, as well as chapter 5, and as well as chapter 6, the entirety of the book of Ephesians. He begins to talk about the fact that we have, he exposes and reveals some things. You can bring your offering up at any time. If you have already, praise God. He exposes or reveals some things to us concerning how we once were under the sway and influence of the devil. Even when we think that we're doing our own thing, if we're not doing God's thing, guess whose thing we're doing? For there are only two powers in the universe that are controlling matters, if you will. There's the power of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and there's the power of the devil, the power of Satan, the power of this present darkness. And these two, I like this word, are diametrically opposed to one another. They do not blend. The Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, he said, but he has nothing in me, no part in me. There is nothing in me in common with him. He is darkness. I am light. And look what Jesus says about us, his disciples. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, the Father did. Look at your neighbor and say, I've been moved out of darkness. I am now light. Hallelujah. I am now light. Light. John said in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, in him was light. And that in him was life. And that life was a light. Let me go there. I want to quote it correctly. I hate misquoting. In him was life, L-I-F-E, and the L-I-F-E was the L-I-G-H-T of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, darkness cannot overpower the light. That light is now in us. Hallelujah. So darkness cannot overpower you as you are light in Christ. Hallelujah. You're tough. You're strong. You're bad. You're the best. You're God's finest for this hour. Receive it in Jesus' name. So he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so he lets us know we once were under the sway and influence of the devil. the spirit of disobedience that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We are no longer the children of disobedience. We are now children of obedience because we've obeyed God. God said this through the prophet Isaiah. I quoted it recently. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Glory. In other words, all the good that the land has to offer, you will be feeding upon that. It'll be yours. So we're not of the disobedient, at least not in the kingdom. But if we revert back to our flesh, which profits nothing, according to John chapter 6, verse 63, if we are walking in the spirit and not according to the flesh, if we are walking under the power of Almighty God, darkness cannot overtake us. There will be no place for darkness in us. We are children of obedience and no longer children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past. That word conversation is dealing with lifestyle, everyday living. It's not just a talking conversation where I had a conversation with so-and-so and we just talk and share things, dot, dot, dot. It's like, no, my life. What is my life? What is it projecting? What is my life engaged in? What is my life involved in my life? That is what's the conversation. And that's something. It's not my mouth. Although my mouth can get me in a whole lot of trouble with this thing called the tongue. T-O-N-G-U-E, tongue. The way it's set in the body, it could set the entire body on fire. It can get me in a whole lot of trouble just by allowing it to run its course. The fires we see in California, and I pray that you're praying against that, that God will bring a screeching halt to it in Jesus' name and catch every arsonist that has started any of it. And if it was started by natural causes or what have you, that God just continues to strengthen those firemen and firewomen that are out there on that front line, putting those fires out, give them the energy, the wherewithal, the knowledge, the skill, you know, the discipline to put those fires out, extinguish them immediately, telling us this is going to be the way of life. From like here on out, those aren't the exact words of Governor Jerry Brown, but basically it's like it's only going to get worse out of his mouth. And there are things that we could probably do to help curtail some of those fires. But nevertheless, we are experiencing those things. The tongue can do the very same thing concerning our lives and our relationship with God if we don't get this thing under control. James says it's an unruly member. Isn't that something? You think of some baby kids. I mean bad kids. They do nothing their parents tell them to do. They do the exact opposite. They go off and they just do wild stuff. Well, that's how the tongue is set in the body. It is an unruly member. How in the world am I going to get a handle on this thing? What did I just do? Using that thing to pray. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues. It'll help to circumcise this thing so that it now speaks those things that we'll see when we get into it in the book of Ephesians, speaking those things that are necessary for edification. Do you know that the Bible even tells us not to let any filthy communication come out of our mouth? So when I say things about saints cussing and stuff, you know, don't get offended and say, well, we under grace and that's all legalism. No, that is Bible. This is daily teaching. We want to speak the things that are necessary for edification, for the growth of the body. We don't want this to be used as an unruly member. We don't want it to be used to further Satan's agenda. We want it to be used to preach the good news of Jesus so that kingdom advances and not the kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness. Am I making any sense? So he says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, our lifestyle, in the lust of our flesh. We did what our flesh wanted to do. In the kingdom, you don't let your flesh do what it wants to do. Some people would get mad and say, you know, well, you're judging and you're criticizing. But I cannot see the Holy Ghost telling me, go take a shot. You know, go get a process. Praise God. That won't happen anytime soon. You know, go pierce your ears. Go ink up your skin. Go ahead. Take a hit. Take a whiff. You know, you used to do it. Go ahead and get high. The Holy Ghost won't tell me to do that. My flesh will, but not the Holy Ghost. And remember, the flesh profits nothing. Anytime we're operating in the flesh, and if we don't pray in the Holy Ghost, if we don't build ourselves up on our most holy faith, if we don't take this word and eat it like it's food, because it is food for our soul, it's food for our spirit, man. If we don't do that, our flesh will rule, and it will be unruly in such a place that you don't care what nobody thinks. You're going to do what you want to do. The flesh profits nothing. It gets you in trouble with God. Always remember, your flesh, your fallen carnal nature hates God and hates God's ways. That's why the best antidote for it is to crucify it. Yeah. What do you mean? Die to it daily. What does that mean? Starve it to death. What does that mean? All of its impulses. I'm not talking about your natural desire for food and drink. Water, Kool-Aid, iced tea. Those are necessities to keep this body going. But there are other impulses that it has that bring us into guilt, condemnation, sin with God. And that sin still brings about separation. You'll start separating yourself from the things of God. You'll start separating yourself from God. And what some people get deceived by is they still think that they have a relationship with God and they're going in the opposite direction from Him. Am I making any sense? Yeah, you'll be presumptuous and thinking that everything is good between me and God. I know God, man, we got it going on. But John says, and you've heard me read it last Sunday evening as well. John says, whoever is in sin and say that they're not makes God a liar. Sin will bring about separation whether you're saved or not saved. It'll eventually just push you so far away that you won't even know God. Why? Because the Bible says it. If you do these things, and I'm just paraphrasing, it's because you don't know God. Yeah. You don't know Him. He's holy, He's pure, He's righteous, He's loving, He's kind, He's merciful. He's God. He knows all, sees all, everywhere at all times. Not to make us afraid of Him, but to bring us into fellowship with Him. And this is what John talks about in that first chapter of his epistle. He talks about we've seen Him with our eyes. We heard Him with our ears. We even touched Him with our hands. Talking to you about the word of life. He that we've seen, He that we've heard, He that we have handled. And then he talks about fellowship, koinonia. That's partnership, that's participating in, that's sharing something in common. And he says that you would have, you know, we would be able to fellowship together. And then he goes on and says, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Lord Jesus. So John's not just trying to bring the letter that he wrote to them, that it applies to us as well. He's not just trying to bring them into the fellowship of the church with John them. He's talking about bringing us into the fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the true fellowship. That's the fellowship that we cannot afford to neglect. in that fellowship, the Bible tells us if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's not just with John. Then John's talking about fellowship with Dad, Abba Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. You know, constantly walking under the cleansing shower and power of Almighty God through fellowship. You hear us time and time again saying, you know, not only read your Bible, not only pray, but, you know, this is about relationship. It's not just about attending a church. It's about personal relationship with God, that fellowship. When we have that fellowship, the enemy toucheth us not. When we have that fellowship, we're getting cleansed. If we're getting cleansed of something, how can we be doing something that we're being cleansed from? Praise God. And the likeness of God begins to manifest itself in us. We begin to bear his image and his likeness, which is what Adam had in the beginning, but blew it. But we get it back through Christ Jesus. Yeah. And guess what? The gates of hell can't prevail against us, because this is the church that Jesus is building. He's not building no weak, watered-down, lukewarm church that still wants to be in the world and still wants to act like the world, still wants to live like the world, even saying that they belong to God. No, if we're going to be with God, we're going to look like God. Yeah. We're going to bear his image and his likeness before all men, and we're not going to be ashamed of it. We're going to walk like Jesus walked. John goes on in chapter 2 and talks about, you know, it's like we owe this to him as a personal debt, as an obligation to him. We owe it to him to live as he lived. Yeah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Taste and see. Make you want to walk like him. Have fellowship, communion, koinonia with him. As you're going to work, in your workplace, at home, when you're laying down, when you're there. Can't go to sleep. Fellowship. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God will rock you to sleep. Praise God. Fellowship. At all times. Don't let life get you so bogged down that you stay in the natural. No, tap into the realm of the spirit. At first, it might start off a little cold. But eventually, just like an engine, boom. It may be cold when it first starts up, but then it warms up. You know, it may be cold when you first start, but then you warm up. You warm up to the presence. All of a sudden, you notice that there's another person in the room besides just you. All of a sudden, you recognize that, oh, I'm not alone. Praise God. Oh, let me respond to him. All of a sudden, things start happening, even with your physical body, where you can actually feel his presence, and, you know, stuff starts happening, numbness in the body. And it's not like, you know, oh, my blood's not circulating through. No, it ain't it at all. Your flesh is just responding to the very presence of God. Hallelujah. And you just keep going and keep going, because all the while you're fellowshipping, koinonia, sharing things in common. You know, if Jesus is having a meeting with Dad and the Holy Ghost is there in on the meeting to hear what they have to say in order to convey it to us, we can go into the meeting and have a conversation and just start, hey, let's just fellowship, you know, let's just koinonia, share some things in common for the good of God in the earth. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for the offerings that your sons and daughters have given. We pray your blessings upon them. Hold on, gentlemen. Following the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is what we've been delivered from. We were by nature, the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, we were the children of wrath. What does that mean? That means that the wrath that God is storing up to pour out upon all wicked people, we were in that group. But because of Jesus, now the wrath of God passes over us because he is our Passover lamb. And so this is where we were. This is what Christ has redeemed us from. And the place that he's brought us to, who praise God. It's the next verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. We'll stop there. The next verse is a verse I wanted to get to because it shows us where we are now in Christ. But we'll get there next week. Father, thank you. Bless your sons and daughters. May the words that are on the pages of the book we call the Bible, your word to us, may those words be established within our heart and our lives, that our lives may reflect the power and the authority of those words, that you communicate life to us. The letter killeth, but the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, giveth life. Spirit of God, breathe. Breathe. Breathe upon the word that is spoken in this house, that it produces the desired results. And we are forever thankful, forever grateful for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, bless these offerings that have been given and your people who have given freely and willingly. Let there be increase, multiply. Let there be more that comes in. Saints of God, lift your hands. Father, I pray for the blessing of prosperity to come upon this congregation in Jesus. And I thank you that it is here. And it is upon everyone who believes and everyone who receives that, Lord God, you will grant even more than what you have done. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the increase in the Mays' household. We thank you for the increase in Sister Robriel's household. We thank you, Lord God, that you are bringing increase to your sons and daughters, that they are getting raises, they are getting promotions, they are getting jobs. We thank you for the other Mays' house that you opened up the door, gave them 3 jobs within 1 month's time. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, let prosperity come upon your sons and daughters. Your word declares that it is you who gives us power to get wealth, that your covenant may be established, that covenant that you swore to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the children of Israel, and now through Jesus, even to us, Gentiles, who were cut off from the commonwealth, but have now been brought nigh by the blood. Bless your sons and daughters, Lord God. Prosper them in such a way that even our enemies will envy us because of the goodness manifested in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Bless these offerings tonight. Let them be increased and multiply. Oh, God, that there are never no shortages and that we're able to do everything you want us to do in this community and around the world, Lord God. Give us seed to sow and increase our harvest in the name of Jesus. That the windows of heaven continue to pour out the blessing and favor that we all need in this earth, in this life. We give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. Now may the Lord our God continue to bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will conquer the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. All right, we love you. This Friday, is it this Friday?